How much is godly counsel worth? I would say a bunch. People go the wrong way because they get bad counsel. So our subject has been the value of Christian counsel. In fact, today we want to talk about the superiority of godly counsel, Christian counsel. And counsel is so important because it's the essence of being salt and light. So we help people by giving them the right directions in life. That's being salt and that's being light. And so this is why our subject, and our subject today is simply this, because we want to comprehend the superiority of Christian counsel. You may not understand my picture yet, but you will. So let's get started about the superiority. Let's talk about what is counsel. That's where we should start, okay? So here's the definition of counsel. It is the interchange of opinions. It's deliberation. It's consultation. It's giving instruction or receiving instruction for the purpose of direction. So when we talk about counsel, that's what we're speaking of, giving advice to others. The question then becomes, well, what is Christian counsel? So here's our working definition. It is advice that strictly adheres to Jesus Christ and to the Scriptures. Otherwise, it's not Christian. Otherwise, it's not godly. So that's what we want to do. We want to learn about the superiority of Christian counsel. Now, we've already mentioned that there are two kinds of counsel, godly and ungodly. So let me just do a bit of review. Two kinds of counsel, godly and ungodly. And I love the scripture. It's so important. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel from ungodly people and doesn't stand away around with sinners, because that's where you're going to get ungodly counsel. And don't sit with people who are mocking and scorning, because you'll learn ungodly counsel. Blessed is the person who does not live his life, walk, follow counsel that comes from an ungodly source. But instead, his delight, and I love that, delight. This is so great to have good counsel. It's a delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then his law, does he, it's there all the time. Does he meditate day and night? Now watch this. And he shall become like a tree planted. Ah, I like that. That's stability, right? By the rivers of water. What's that going to cause? It's going to be enable him to bring forth fruit at the right season. His leaves will not wither. And look at this now. Don't miss this. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Watch it now. Two kinds of counsel, ungodly and godly. The godly counsel looks like this. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. The leaves don't wither. No area of your life will be without life in it. It will be dead. None of it will be dead. Leaves will not wither. You will bring forth productively. You will bring forth fruit in right times. And look at this. Everything you do will prosper. Such is the superiority of godly Christian counsel. Now, let's go back to the scriptures here. It'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Rivers of water, always getting nourishment. You bring forth fruit in season. Everything, nothing withers, everything prospers. Now watch this. But the ungodly are not so. They're not like what we just saw. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Their life looks like this. the wind comes along and blows them every which way. They don't know what they're doing, where they're going, or what's going on in their life. Because the ungodly are not like the tree planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now watch this. Because what happens if you get ungodly counsel? And so the scripture goes on, like the chaff which the wind drives away. And now it says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They're in big trouble at the end of the story. Nor sinners are in a different category than those who are doing what's right. For the Lord knows the way of those that do what's right. But look at this. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. It all hinges on what kind of counsel you get. So our subject is the superiority of Christian counsel. Remember what a Christian counsel is? Counsel that is in direct adherence to Jesus and to the Scriptures. Now, before we pass from this subject to the next point, I want to look at another scripture. And this is an amazing scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 55. And let me tell you how it begins. God says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways, saith the Lord. Whoa. Don't ever make the dumbest mistake, which is to think that you or me or anyone else is smarter than God. His thoughts are higher. Now watch this. So what he does is he gives us his thoughts, and he calls it his word. So look at the scripture. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. The counsel that I give you, look at this, will not return to me void. It won't be a zero. But instead, look at this, it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in that thing whereunto I sent it, which is you. Now, when this happens, there is some changes that happen to us or anyone who receive godly counsel. Here it is. You ready? You're going to go out with joy. Oh, my goodness. You're going to be happy, happy, happy. You will be led forth with peace. Can you imagine that? Everywhere you go, you're calm, cool, collected, composed. It will seem, look at this now, it will seem like the mountains and the hills are going to break forth before you into singing. It's like when you walk out like, oh, you really are some kind, because you're following God's counsel. Look at this. And all the trees of the field is going to be like they're clapping their hands. Here you come. You will be in such an exalted condition from following godly counsel that comes from his word. There's going to be like the mountains are singing, hills are singing, and the trees are clapping for you. Here you come. Now watch this next. Here's what he says. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Watch now. Watch with me now. Instead of your life looking like a thorn bush, it's going to look like a fir tree. Instead of looking like a briar, this is amazing. I don't want you to miss this. Because, you see, this is the promise of God. If you follow godly counsel, your life won't be full of thorns. It'll be like a fir tree. Instead of briar, it'll be flowered like the myrtle tree. All up to you, based on what counsel that you're going to follow. Remember, brief repeat, two kinds of counsel, godly and ungodly. And my case that I want you to really grasp today is to see the superiority of Christian counsel. Godly versus ungodly. You'll be doing the right versus wrong. You'll be doing good versus evil. You'll be getting instruction from headquarters, God, instead of some humanistic person who thinks he's smarter. Can you imagine that? Than God. You'll be getting that which is wise instead of that which is foolish. You'll get the counsel at least of blessing instead of cursing. You'll be remember that scripture we just looked at. When you go out, you'll be going out with joy. Be led forth with peace in the mountains, the hills are breaking forth. You will have elation. And instead of following ungodly counsel, which leads to discouragement, depression, despair, despondency, you'll have freedom. Freedom instead of bondage. Because godly counsel is so superior to ungodly. Let me show you a verse about ungodly counsel. These caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, a false god, watch now, because they followed the counsel of Balaam, they committed trespass against the Lord. And look at what happened. So there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Not smart, not a good idea at all. The superiority of Christian counsel. Now watch this. There are, in fact, two kinds of counsel, godly and ungodly. But in addition, there is fake Christian counsel. What is that? It's secular counsel given under the guise of Christian. Not everything that calls itself Christian is Christian. You can put the label on the outside, but that doesn't mean that what's inside is what the label says it's supposed to be. So we have people, now watch this, because there are some true Christian people, but they have been so influenced by Freud, Skinner, and the rest of them, that in fact, they counsel, they're Christians themselves, but they're giving the counsel that comes from secular sources. Then there's those who call themselves Christian that have no idea what Christian is. In fact, let me show you a scripture about this. Behold, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now watch this. These men who have crept into Christendom are ungodly men. Now watch what they do. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. First thing they do. They think God's grace approves everything. Nothing is ever wrong. Nothing's out of bounds. They see grace as a cover-up for sin instead of a cleanser of sin. Now watch this, because not only do they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, and that's why you probably should go on our internet and watch several videos there on grace is not a cover-up. But in addition, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, because I want you to see this. They deny him as Lord, ruler, master, boss. They're still in charge of their life. There's nothing changed. So don't miss this. There's two kinds of counsel, godly and ungodly. But then there's imitation Christian counsel, which is not Christian at all, even though the person may have the persona. We have people in our pulpits who live openly violating principles of Scripture, has to do with sexuality and all kinds of crazy stuff. Okay. Secular counsel given under the guise of Christian. Now, in order to understand the superiority of Christian counsel, there are a few basics I want to cover just now. And here they are. The first thing I want you to grasp is that all outcomes are determined by counsel choices. Outcomes, the end result. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, watch this now, and for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. He didn't go to God to get counsel. He went to a familiar spirit. Okay. I don't know if you know this, but maybe this will help you. I hope it does. What is a familiar spirit? There are lots of kinds of spirits in the Bible, right? No, different kinds of demons and devils, right? What is a familiar spirit? So catch this now. The spirits don't live 70 years like human beings. There's a termination coming for them, but it's a long way off, and they've been here for decades and centuries. I once was giving advice to a young man, and in the middle of the council, he told me that he was actually, this was his second life, that he was actually born during the Civil War, and was a soldier in the Civil War, and that he'd been reincarnated, come back. And I asked him, well, what's the evidence of that? And so he cited all kinds of stories of stuff that happened in the Civil War that actually did happen in the Civil War. Here's the problem. There were spirits back there, because spirits are timeless compared with us, that knew all about the Civil War, and they were familiar with the Civil War stuff that went on, and they brought it to him, and he was being consulted by a familiar spirit thinking, leading him to think that he was actually back there because he listened to a familiar spirit. And this is exactly what this Saul did. He inquired of it. Watch this now. And instead, he inquired not of the Lord. Now, therefore, he slew him and turned the kingdom into David, the son of Jesse, because God could not use that person because he was not following godly counsel and inquiring of the Lord. He was inquiring of familiar spirits. Now, watch, because I hope you got this down. The outcomes of every person's life, outcomes are determined by those counsels which we choose. Now, the second thing I want you to grasp is that the fates of entire nations are determined by counsel choices. Whoa. You want to know why the nations are rising against nations, why the wars are going on, all the stuff that's happening? Because they're following counsel. Watch this now. The kings of the earth have set themselves. Now watch this. Not just the kings, but the rulers. And they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, which is Jesus. Okay? So what they have decided, they're going to not follow God counsel, right? Now watch this though. So they say, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. We're not going to follow the stuff from God. We'll decide what we'll do, what we won't do. So they rejected the counsel of God, and they've done it collectively. So how many nations are left now that follow the counsel of God? America once was that nation. Are we following the counsel of God now? Doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that we've generally turned the corner going a different way. So one translation puts it this way. Earth leaders, they push for position. They're demagogues and their delegates meet for summit talks. They are God deniers and Messiah defiers. And they're saying, let's get free of God, cast loose from Messiah. We're not going to go down the Christian route. Our nation is not a Christian nation. It's a secular nation. And so they got together and decided that. Now watch, because I don't want you to miss this. The fate of entire nations is determined by whose counsel they follow and whose counsel they don't. Now watch the scripture. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise. Oh, that they understood this. Oh, that they would consider the latter end. What you're going to get by rejecting godly counsel. And that's why entire nations right now are in the tumult. And the condition they're in is because they've rejected the counsel of God and have turned to secular counsel. In one scripture, there's details, and I can't give you the whole background story, it would take too long, but the men took their food and they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What was the counsel that they didn't ask about? They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. They allowed other nations to influence them instead of getting them out of the picture. Now, as the Lord commanded them. So what happens when they refuse to separate themselves from the other nations? Look at this. They were mingled among the heathen now, and watch this, and they learned their works. And it gets worse. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yeah, now watch this. This is really difficult for me to talk about, because it comes so close to the world condition right now. You understand what they did? Instead of following as a nation the counsel of God and disallowing the evil counsel from other nations, instead of disallowing it, they allowed it and they were mingled with them. So they learned to follow the way of life of counsel from godless nations. They ended up with the same value system, serving their gods, and it became a snare unto them. Now watch this, because here's what happens with a nation that rejects the counsel of God. They sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. What kind of counsel leads a woman to kill her baby? A father to join in? Watch. They sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils, and they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters. the fate of nations is determined by the counsel they follow. And now, we're slaying the babies by the millions. And even the ones who escape, the value of the lives of children has gone down because of the council. I even know ministers who think that children, babies, are born dirty, rotten little sinners. That's not what Jesus said. You can tell when a country or a person follows the counsel of God by the value they place on women and children. Here, listen to Jesus. He set a child in the midst of them, and this is what he said. Except you be converted and become as this little child, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Suffer the little children, don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You see, Christian counsel elevates the value and the dignity of every human life. And that's why nations right now who have rejected the counsel of God and are going different directions are suffering the way they are. Now, I want to give you a caution. The caution is about parental discretion. Ahaziah walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Now, watch this, and I haven't got time to go into history. You can read this for yourself. But his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Can you imagine that? So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. Why did he do evil in the sight of the Lord? Watch the scripture. Watch the intelligence of my heart for a moment. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. They were his counselors. So what happens when children are exposed to bad counsel from parents? And I want you to know the answer, because if you've gotten bad advice, counsel, or even bad example from your father, I want you to know what the scripture says to you about it and what counsel you should have about that now. So here it is. Now, lo, if a man begat a son, and that son sees all his father's sins which he had done, number two, and the son thinks about it, considers it, and the son, look at this, does not do what his father did. Huh. Now watch this, because the result's a few verses later. But instead of following his father, he has executed my judgments, God says, and he's walked in my statutes. Look at this. He shall not die because his father was like that. He shall surely live. Now, it's a plain, simple fact. Most of us know this. There are two ways to learn. You learn from instruction or from experience. I recommend instruction. Want to know what it's like to jump off the Empire State Building? Watch somebody else do it. Don't do it yourself. It is valuable to learn, remember, instruction or experience of someone else. Watch the experience of someone else and learn from that. And as this is what happened here, this boy saw the sins of his father, said, I'm not going there. That's not smart. That's not godly. So he didn't do the sins his father did. He didn't act like his father. He wasn't a narcissist like his father. Instead, he executed the judgments of God, walked in the statutes of God, and watch this, not He shall not die because of the narcissism of his father. He shall surely live. Another caution. Beware of hired counselors. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the construction. Watch it now. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Caution, beware of hired counselors. Why? Anybody who does what they do for money has a contaminated motive. Christians do what they do because they love somebody else. Love works no ill for his neighbor. Huh? But the love of money is the root of all evil. So, we may cover some more of this in detail, but beware of hired... Why? Because a hired counselor will make more money if you don't get fixed. You have to come back to him again and again and again. Whereas love, choosing the highest good of another person without personal benefit or profit as a motive, you can kind of count on that kind of counsel, can't you? That's what's called a Christian. Now, I want to suggest to you that you, because of the superiority of Christian counsel, we're going to get into the details of that, that you avoid all non-authentic Christian counsel. Job asked it this way, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is messing up the ideas about counseling? They don't know what they're talking about. In fact, one translation, look at this. Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? And so the rhetorical question, who is this that darkens counsel? You're messing up counsel because you don't know what you're talking about. You've got humanistic ideas. You listen to Freud too long, or Skinner, or Rogers. So, let me conclude with this great portion of Scripture. Lo, their good is not in their hand, so the counsel of the wicked is far from me. They're not doing, so I'm not listening to their counsel. Got it? How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft comes their destruction upon them? You can see it. With all the counseling that's going on, with all the money being spent for counselors, with all the institutionalization and everything else, all the government money that's spent, people who get counsel, do you think we're solving the problems? A casual observation will belay the fact, will show you clearly, is not working. How oft does the candle of the wicked... The light that comes from the wicked doesn't work. How oft cometh their destruction upon them? It just doesn't work. So look at this now. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to a zero. He makes the devices of the people, by comparison, of no effect. Look at this, none effect. It doesn't work. In contrast to this, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. In other words, what he said 100 years ago is as valid today as it was back then. It's transgenerational. And then look at this. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. The whole nation condition, national conditions are based on what counsel is being considered. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn the superiority of Christian counsel. We're going to learn divine wisdom versus human speculation. We're going to learn how love motive versus profitability is superior. That God's way has solutions versus accommodating the evil or the problem. And that, listen, temporal psychology has no eternal end in mind. Total fix versus a partial fix. Empowerment. Now watch this. Secular counsel can give, okay, you can do this, lots of self-help, but look at what. Christian counsel comes along with a power to do what is right. Righteous versus unrighteous. The laws versus advice. Ooh. Forgiveness versus irresolution. Cleansing versus non-recovery. We never get rid of it. We have to deal with it all the rest of our life. The superiority of Christian counsel, that, I mean, you get, the old things pass away, everything becomes new. It's gone, the old stuff. It's comprehensive versus partial. It's a solution versus accommodation. I think I mentioned that. And so we'll teach you how to live with your disorder and be as comfortable as possible. Christian counsel says here's how to get rid of it entirely. It's like they want to make you comfortable on the way to hell instead of delivering you from the hell of it. Okay? Healing versus tolerating the sickness. Accuracy about your situation versus human speculation. How to resolve guilt versus living with it. How to have standards that stop issues versus maintaining vulnerability. Deal with the root causes versus simply the symptoms. And of course, bring a person to humility versus proud pride. Redemptive versus accepting the issue that the problem is. God awareness versus ignorance. God accountability. And on and on and on it goes. Listen, dear friends. Affliction doesn't come out of the dust. Trouble doesn't spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble, just like the sparks fly upward. And so, watch this now. Smart, superior advice. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Ah, he gives rain upon the earth and sends waters upon the floods. Look at this. To set up on high places. This is what Christian counsel does. It will set up on high those that are low. And look what it does. Those which mourn will be exalted to safety. God will disappoint the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their end. But it doesn't work. In fact, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from the mouth, from their mouth. Watch it now. He saves the poor from their mouth and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor has hope, and iniquity stops her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom the Lord God corrects. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and he binds up. He wounds us he wounds and his hands make whole. Maybe I should mention a bit about that. The doctor's going to hurt you, but he's hurting you to help you. He's going to cut you. But it's a hurt that heals, a hurt that helps. In Christian counseling, you're going to have to deal with stuff. It's going to get sore, but he binds it up. You'll be wounded, but his hands will make whole. In addition, he shall deliver thee from six troubles, yea, even seven. There shall no evil touch thee in famine. He shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. People, whatever else says to you, is not going to affect you anymore. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field. And the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. Needs to say, what does the stones of the field be in league with them? Simply means that the stones shall be your stepping stones instead of your stumbling blocks. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle, your home, shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy home and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed, your children, shall be great, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. What does that mean? It means your children will grow up nimble, supple, and graceful. And look at this. Thou shalt come to thy grave in full age. You'll have lived it the right way. Like as a shock of corn cometh in a season. Lo, this we have searched it, and so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. I want you to know the superiority of Christian counsel. And so what we're going to do is, we're in fact going to get into the details of the superiority of Christian counsel. Next time we're together, we're going to put Jesus side by side with Freud, with Skinner, Rogers. We'll even show a comparison with Maurer and Bill Glasser, John Drakeford. Why is this important? Because you're important, and because other people are important. And what they need from you and I, it's counsel that's going the right way. Because it brings solutions and not failure.
Discover and uncover the truth about you.
At the core, everybody needs to have an accurate identity. They need to know who they are, what they are, and why they're here. Otherwise, life is just a maze and doesn't make a lot of sense.
Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self.
You turn from a question mark to an exclamation mark.
Why You Were Born unlocks the mystery surrounding your purpose in life, and it will lead you to choose a life path of excellence to live your best life.
And so it's a starting point for what I would call an amazing life, to know why you were born. You're here for a reason.
Learn more. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/born.